Welcome to the Everything Podcast, the place for everything education. Whether you're a first-year teacher or a seasoned educator, our mission is to help you employ smart strategies in and out of the classroom.
We firmly believe that teacher burnout isn't inevitable. Part inspiration and part implementation, we discuss the why and how to make your classroom effective and sustainable.
We're your hosts, Danielle
and Nicole. You're listening to the Everything Podcast. Hey, Danielle, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm actually celebrating a year at school, a year of working with my mentor, and kind of jogged my memory about what we're talking about with today's episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, about a year since we took on the topic of how to be a good mentee and how to be a good mentor. And when we were going into that episode, we actually were a little bit unsure about whether or not we should record it because we weren't sure there was going to be enough information. And then we got a ton of really good feedback about it.
I think this is one of those topics that certainly deserves all the credit because it can bring a lot of value to a brand new teacher to a brand new school or a seasoned teacher looking for a refresh. This idea of having someone in your corner is so important.
Yeah. In fact, the reason that this was top of mind for me is friend of the podcast, Mandy Rice. You heard from her in her episode. She's Teach on a Mission. She actually had an entire teacher wellness series that she asked us to be part of, which was really exciting. And we wanted to revisit this topic of mentorship and update it a little bit and make sure that we were covering it in even more detail. So obviously, if you missed our first episode on mentorship, you're going to want to go back and take a look at that because we talk about what you should be doing to be a good mentor and mentee in person. Today, we're taking it to the digital space.
Yes, we are. And I think it goes without saying that, you know, we talk so much about this word community on the podcast. We speak about social media and we have some helpful tools to help you navigate that scary social media presence that it feels like all teacherpreneurs are required to have these days. You can always check out our website if you're looking for more info about that. But when it does come to having a community and an online presence and a whole group of people who you're kind of looking at for advice or information, we tend to think of these people as maybe being our role models or being those that we kind of look to for that inspiration. And It's something that, you know, it's easy to feel like that digital online space is like you're kind of detached from it, right? And you're looking at something, you're consuming the content, and it's a great way to get that inspiration, as I said. But we kind of want to reframe that a little bit and take on a more active approach to what it means to actually be involved on social media and to find that sense of mentorship in that way, in that space.
Yeah, I think that if you are the kind of person, which we think you are, who loves to be on Instagram, and there are those people that you watch every single story because it's always so good. You read the caption no matter how long that is. You never miss a post. You're always actually clicking that link in that person's bio. You've probably also never thought of them as being a mentor to you.
Yeah. It's easy to idolize people, right? And think like, oh, this is what I want my feed to look like. Or maybe this is the way that I'm going to now change my lesson to kind of mimic. Or, you know, it's such a great space to get that, you know, great resource or maybe even mix up what you're currently doing in your classroom. That's why you and I kind of fell in love with like the Teachers of Instagram space, because it does kind of help to keep it fresh and creative. But there comes a time where you have to kind of buckle down and question like, what am I getting out of this? And why am I not taking this a little bit more seriously to really try and learn something and maybe even form, I want to use the word relationship, but I want to say it in the right way, kind of start to create a bond or some type of tie with that person that you may be, quote, idolizing in a way.
Yeah. So let's talk about why you might not be calling that person your mentor, even though if you look at the criteria for what a mentor is and what they do for you, they really are already serving that purpose. And the first reason why you might not have thought of them as being your mentor is so many people believe the myth that only new teachers need mentors.
Oh my gosh, I can't say enough about this. And I actually fell into this camp and I'm a little embarrassed about it. I had a kind of a wake-up call when I transitioned to a new school. I was designated a mentor. And I thought, okay, all right, great. I hadn't met this person yet, but I was like, had this whole kind of, I already had my opinion. I already had my point of view about it. And I just went into it thinking, I have experience, you know, this is whatever, something I have to go through. And I remember talking to you about it, and it was about a year ago, where we just started to kind of dive into what it means to actually have that relationship and how it differs school to school and how to kind of just change up the perception or even like preconceived idea about what a mentor looks like and what a mentee means, and just try and change that a bit because it's really powerful. And it's like that secret little weapon that you have available to you that people don't always use in the right way.
And when we tackled this topic the first time, we talked about you need to make sure that you know what the exact parameters of your relationship are with the school assigned mentor.
Yeah.
Right? Because that might have really serious connections back to your job and evaluations and things of that nature. So using that as a tool, definitely important. Also, make sure that you know exactly what you're getting into when you go and ask certain questions of that person who is just assigned to you. But yes, I think often we think of mentorship as being for just the person who's right out of college. And that's so untrue. And we also think that only the mentee is learning from that relationship. Also completely false.
I feel like we could talk about that for hours. It is a relationship for a reason. There is a kind of conversation that needs to happen on a regular basis that involves both parties participating and it not being sort of a checklist, you know, check the boxes to move through it. And as you mentioned, Danielle, at the top of the recording, it's really worthwhile to go back and listen to our episode about being a good mentee and kind of diving into that because we really could talk about it for a while and we have. So it's worthwhile to check that out. But yeah, there's kind of a lot of ground rules when it comes to having that strong relationship from the start. So something to consider and definitely worthwhile to read Danielle's featured article on Mandy Rice's website all about teacher wellness because it really dives deep into that concept as well.
Well, thank you. I think that one of the reasons I was so passionate and really went and wrote a long form article about this is because just like we don't always see the person who is acting as our mentor in the proper way because we're just not expecting to come at it from like that perspective, I think we also don't necessarily associate having a mentor or having a strong relationship with a mentee mentor as part of a conversation on teacher wellness. I feel like that so often is very like you-centric. And as a result, you don't realize, well, no, having these important bonds and this support system in place might be the exact thing that you need in order to keep you grounded. But you need to be looking in the right place. It's not always that school assigned person. And another myth, it's not always a person in your discipline. I know when we spoke to one of my personal virtual mentors, Ashley Bible, who we got to connect with, which was awesome. She talked about in one of her first experiences being a young teacher, one of the most important people that she kind of connected with down the hall from her was not the kind of person who necessarily would have been someone she identified with in terms of like teaching philosophy, but she got so much out of learning from her classroom management style.
Right. Another great episode to listen to with Ashley Bible. Oh, Danielle, it's so true. I think addressing the myths of I don't need a mentor because I'm not a new teacher, that's one we definitely need to tackle head on. And I love, you said it best, all teachers need mentors.
Yes.
It doesn't matter your discipline, how many years experience you have, whether or not you've recently made a transition to something new. Everyone needs a mentor and you find it in all different places. And today we're here to talk about maybe you haven't found it at your school or maybe you're looking for yet another mentor, which we're all about that. And finding that in an online space. So let's dive into that.
So one of the reasons that I think that we often hold ourselves back from getting into that mentor mentee relationship is we use the excuse that the mentor isn't getting anything out of the relationship. So we're just kind of being an inconvenience. And therefore, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. Mm. And we know how isolating the teaching field can be. Why don't we realize that having somebody act as our mentor is one way to combat that? And if you are thinking that, oh, no, 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 I really just don't want to, I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to take up that person's time. I think that that might be kind of the shield that you're putting up. The excuses you want to tell yourself so that way you can continue to just go on as you are. And it doesn't have to be that way, because I do think that there's something a little bit scary about putting yourself out there into this type of relationship, even if it's not a formal relationship, even if it's not in person. It still can be a little bit intimidating, because this is the person that you have maybe really admired from afar, like the work that they're doing. So the idea of connecting with them on that level might sound like something that could go great. Or what if they ignore you? That sounds like it would be heartbreaking. It's not going to happen. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Trust us.
I actually think that in the digital space, I'm gonna go out and make a bold statement. I think in the digital space, your mentor might even be getting more out of the mentor-mentee relationship.
I actually do agree with that. I think that, you know, especially when we think of those who are posting things, getting a lot of feedback from people, usually it's kind of like those passive mm-hmm. responses. Love this, you know, great, lots of likes, affirmations, yes. all of that. And for you to provide maybe probing questions, further discussion.
Yes.
I think that that is kind of like the real feedback that someone who's putting all this out into the virtual space is really looking for. And it actually probably would provide even more value than the like or the, you know, whatever passive, positive comment.
Absolutely. So when you're thinking about going and finding these relationships for a mentor-mentee experience online, first of all, you don't have to tell that person that they are your mentor, because if this is the first time you're thinking about this relationship in this way, that might be kind of strong language to be your first encounter with this person. But whether you have found that person on Instagram, whether you found them in a private group on Facebook that is really active, and there's one person who you can always count on to contribute something really amazing, whether it's a mastermind of really kind of your peers, but there's one person in that group that kind of like stands out in your mind. There are plenty of spots you can find these people online, but how do we make sure that we are being an excellent mentee online? Which I think was one of the things that most people liked about the first episode. They want to be a good mentee and they didn't know how to do that. And I think that that could be even more confusing when you put that into the digital space.
Agreed. Agreed. And I think it does come back to that idea of pushing forward with those kind of like probing questions and having that discussion.
Yes.
It is being more than just that passive like, or that person who kind of just is actively always participating with them, but not actually sharing anything of value, so to speak. So I totally agree, Danielle. I think it might be a little much for you to say, hi, I'm your new mentee, or will you be my mentor? I think that yes. might come off a little strong. Yes. So I definitely agree yes. on that term. But I think that, you know, identifying someone that you feel really like a strong kinship with, or someone that you feel close to yep. is a really great first step, and kind of identifying what yep. it is about them that you're kind of looking to learn about or hone in on, a skill that you're looking to learn. And I think that, you know, we could talk about maybe the things that we'd like to further develop and how to seek out that in someone. I think that's something that you have to kind of determine on your own. You know, when you do feel like you found that person in whatever space it is, you mentioned a couple of great ones. I think that, you know, having a more active conversation with them online, sending that direct message, giving a rave review, or giving something that provides a little bit more value and a further another opportunity for a further conversation kind of helps to move that in a stronger direction.
Okay, so why don't we actually break that down and explain why doing each of those things will make you that standout, stellar mentee that your person has always wished for. They just didn't know it yet. So now that we've like found the person and we know that we really enjoy their stuff, you have already alluded to make sure that you give them more than a passive like. Why? Why is that helpful to them?
Yeah. So like we said, you know, and people who are sharing this information out there, they're looking for real feedback. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're even looking for you to use it in your classroom and to provide like that true feedback of how is it going in your room, or to really give that true sense of, you know, what their consumer might have experienced.
But think about it. If you have gone through a digital course that they made, and you just cannot stop using the amazing, I don't know, classroom management approach that they talked about. If you leave a detail, like rave review about it, now all of a sudden you're helping them because they might be able to take that, which is how they kind of learned about you and connected with you. And they're able to use that in order to kind of like have a testimonial. So that way other teachers can find this really, really useful resource. It's not just them saying, oh, I have this great resource about this thing. It's you. It's tried and true. And so other teachers will be more likely to trust
Definitely.
It.
And taking it a step further and taking it upon yourself to actually share out the review that you've sent or the great mm-hmm. personal story that you had about how much this positively impacted your day, your lesson, whatever it is. You know, yeah. It just brings a smile to someone's face, and it also helps to keep the conversation going and even help your own peers and fellow teachers find out about this person.
Yeah, when you're sharing it, the algorithm really, really likes that it's not just them promoting right. the thing. You too are also taking that step. Plus, you're probably sending it to someone who needs to know that this person exists or needs to know that that resource exists. So not only are you being an excellent virtual mentee, you're also being probably a really great fellow peer teacher in whichever community you're in.
Fair enough. So we know what to do once we feel like we found our person. We know the right mm-hmm. kind of engagement that they're probably looking for their own statistics and the way yep. that we can help to boost what our own audience knows about who we look up to and the things that we're consuming yeah. and using and really excited about.
Definitely. And not to just like something, but truly, if you have a question about something, I think, especially as content creators, we have a weekly podcast, as you know, if you're listening to this, it can be tough to figure out what are you going to talk about next. If, as this virtual mentee, you are asking a great question and you're phrasing it in a way that comes off as true curiosity about the topic, because we want to make sure that we're not accidentally using language that might sound super critical of the thing. Because when it comes to a question, I think that especially if it's only text, that could easily get misconstrued, right? So if we come up with something that is kind of like an extension of what they've talked about that you genuinely want to know more about, if you leave that question, first of all, they're probably going to notice that that was a great question and they're going to want to connect with you on that level to begin with. But that could be the next piece of content that they decide to put out the next time that they're stuck. So you're kind of doing them a favor by telling them what direction you'd like to see more information about. So that way you save them from the constant like, oh gosh, what am I going to write for this next post? Or what am I going to talk about in this next blog that I have to write or whatever it may be. But you're also getting the extra help you could have gotten if this person had truly been two classrooms down the hall.
I totally agree with this. I feel like the poll tool on Instagram makes that really easy because you're kind of sourcing the crowd. And then to even go a step further and DM someone or to provide that like kind of extra question. I think about that all the time when you and I are having a discussion about something and I'm like, I wonder what someone else kind of thinks about this or how they might be using mm-hmm. this in their classroom or not. And I just, you know, it's like one of those things where you wish that you could just get someone's like quick little opinion about it or even like their own, perspective. And just to have that as kind of like a rolling feed of what it is that people are understanding or learning about your product yeah. or the thing that you're taking on social media. I think it's super helpful and it just, you know, it doesn't go unnoticed. I think people often think that it just kind of like yeah. builds up in someone's DMs and you know, we'd like to think that it really doesn't. It does go somewhere and it's important.
Yeah, and if you decide to get in touch with this person, whether you decide to send them a DM about it, whether you decide to post your question like in the feed, it really doesn't matter how you get that question to them. I think it matters that it's a like actual genuine question that has like meat to it, and instead of something like, oh, great picture of your new bulletin board. Like, no, give them something real that they can kind of like dig into. But if you're thinking to yourself, how do I make sure that my question comes across as genuinely interested and not something that might sound like borderline snarky or anything else that has a tone that you're not looking for? I would probably suggest starting out with some type of compliment and something that is referencing a specific detail that shows that you did take the time to watch that video, read that post, whatever it may be. So that way the person knows that it wasn't because you were kind of like skimming through it and missed the section where they talked about it for two paragraphs. You just weren't paying attention. So start with a compliment like, I really enjoyed your latest IGTV live on whatever the topic was. In particular, I really liked the part where you talked about whatever the issue was that they kind of featured, and then maybe bring it to your question. I'd love to implement it in the classroom. I know you had great success with it in fourth grade. I teach 10th grade, but I really want to do the same thing. Any advice about how I can do this successfully, in terms of this classroom management strategy or whatever it might
I
be.
love it. So well done. And I think that it goes a really long way because it shows that you took the time and care to actually read through the thing, watch the thing, provide the positive reinforcement, the affirmation, and then that question that follows, you know, it does provide that follow-up. And even you'll be surprised at how many other people also will jump in and add on to that, or I had the same question, right? It's kind of like another discussion on top of that, which I
And I would not be surprised if maybe, you know, the next week or 2 weeks from then, all of a sudden, a video
Right.
appears on how to adapt this for high school.
That's so true. That's how the best
Give the
conversations.
people what they
Yeah,
want.
exactly. People are asking for it. I completely agree.
And it doesn't always have to be public. So I feel like my last tip on how to be this superstar virtual mentee would be make sure that they know that you are their biggest cheerleader, even if you don't need to let everybody in the world know. I know that we've used Instagram as our example several times now, but maybe that's not where your person shows up and it's not where you show up. Maybe you're on their email list and you read every word in those emails. Actually, go through and reply to that person's email. They're going to get it. They're going to read it and they're going to be excited about it. It doesn't have to be long. You can just write a short message, short email about maybe how long you've been following that person's advice for, because knowing you've had a tried and true fan for the 4 years that you've been blogging for, or whatever it may be. So indicating how loyal you have been, and then maybe telling them something that they have posted recently that really like stayed with you and had an impact. Think about them receiving that when they had a really tough day, because even though they might not post about that on Instagram, it happens. When you have these bigger people and these bigger accounts, yeah, they get a lot of positive feedback, but not all positive feedback. And that can be tough. And maybe it was that message or email that turned their day absolutely around.
I couldn't agree more. I tend to think of like our emails as being an even more special place to receive messages, and I also like tend to send emails to let someone that I'm following know about, you know, whether or not I've had success or a question or whatever with the thing that I've tried, and I find that actually usually gets a much nicer response than something in a DM. Well, this was a nice little preview to what everyone should definitely check out, and I want to make sure I shout out Danielle again for her blog post on Mandy Rice's website, teachonamission.com, where you can find Danielle's most recent blog post all about teacher wellness and specifically about mentor-mentee relationships. It's so worthwhile to read, and there's so much value packed into one article. So definitely make sure you check that out, and just really proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. And I think that this is a perfect addition to a number of very kind of like virtually focused episodes that we've had. We recently got to interview Macy, who is our telecommuting speech and language pathologist, which was a ridiculously good episode. So if you missed it, go back and take a listen. And spoiler alert, coming up, you're going to hear from a virtual elementary school teacher. So we are making sure that, you know, you're taken care of in the traditional classroom as well as in the online space. And if you need more help with the online space, as always, check out Everything Social.
Sounds great. Thanks, Danielle.
Thank you.
If you'd like to learn more about us and the services that we offer, head to everything.com.